You are now entering the spoiler zone. The following podcast contains explicit plot details and pockets of profanity. You have been warned. The Exton Moss Experiment. Adventures in wine and space with Simon Exton and Ken Moss.
Hello everyone, and a very warm welcome to another edition of the Exton Moss Experiment. I'm Ken Moss.
I'm Simon Exton.
And today we're going to look at something nice and shiny and Blu-ray. It's Doctor Who, Terror of the Vervoids.
As chosen by the randomizer.
Hyperion 3, an intergalactic liner that ferries between Mogar and Earth.
Hyperion Flight 113 is now in progress.
You're usually the one who goes charging in regardless.
There's evil in this place.
Since you put in an appearance, first a passenger, now my communications officer and a guard have gone missing.
The answer's simple enough. You've got a killer on board.
This was episodes 9 to 12 of season 23 from 1986, Colin Baker's second full season as the Doctor, and it's the Trial of a Time Lord, which is all one 14-part story, but most people do break it up into four individuals. This is the third story of the season. The Doctor on trial, demonstrating his future innocence by showing us the vagina monsters. If you've not seen them, boys and girls, look them up.
Don't look them up at work.
Not suitable for work. It's the episode of Doctor Who magazine that got it moved onto the top shelf for one issue because they thought that it was rude. We're watching the Blu-ray edition, and we're watching a special edition, which is Terror of the Vervoids with all the trial bits chopped out and a shiny new title sequence and 5.1 surround. I've not seen this for years, so I'm quite looking forward to this. I quite like the Vervoids segment.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Agatha Christie in space.
Basically,
to an extent,
yes.
And I like Agatha Christie, so...
But first things first, it's time to get out the tonic screwdriver. We need a drink. Today, we are on... Actually, it's just London Dry Gin.
By Morrison's.
By Morrison's. And the info bollocks is quite scant, actually.
Basically, it's gin, get it down you.
Yeah, made with 8 carefully selected botanicals at one of the oldest gin distilleries in Britain. It doesn't say which. This citrusy, spicy gin is distilled 4 times for a complex but delicate taste. It's 43%. What do we think? Smells ginny.
Smells like gin.
Mm.
Tastes like gin.
Mm.
It's clearly a gin. It's nice. It's smooth. It's well blended. It's a basic gin, but it's bought as a basic
it's
gin.
It's a nice basic
but
gin,
it's
though.
A nice basic gin, yes.
As we found with a lot of supermarkets, their own brand gins, actually, are pretty bloody good. Asda was the first one that leapt out at me. The Aldi one, that's another brilliant one.
Yeah, and this is lovely, and I'm going to steam in with a 4.
It's 4 from me. Highly recommended. So, it's time to descend into the undergallery and open up the Black Archive.
Hello, Spaff.
Yes, Spaff's here with his crisp packets. Oh, there he goes. He's scuttling off into the darkness. He's very antisocial, Silurian. What would you like to rescue from Lost Television Film this time?
Well, it's Doctor Who, so we do Doctor Who.
Well, my choice for this, I was actually thinking, I didn't actually know it existed until about 12 months ago, is the original version of the Daleks, Episode 1. I never knew that it had been recorded twice.
Yeah, there was some sort of technical problem, wasn't
yeah.
there?
Yeah. It's certainly not in the archives, but that's a bit of a curio. I wouldn't mind seeing that and seeing what the... if there are any differences at all. But no, it was re-recorded due to a technical error.
We've not mentioned Wheel in Space yet, have we?
I don't think so.
No, I'll have Wheel in Space.
You'll have Wheel in Space.
There are some really good and entertaining things about Wheel in Space. Mm. We've got a great couple of episodes from it. I don't think it's the most brilliant story, but the sets on the wheel look fantastic. The Cybermen kind of work well. There are some very good guest cast. Gemma Corwin is great.
Mm.
Tanya Lernoff, Leo Ryan, they're all good characters. It's a fun space rompy thing, and I quite like fun space rompy things in Doctor Who, so yes, Wheel in Space, please.
Well, here we are. I'm back in the viewing room. The one thing I want to say about these Blu-rays, I've gushed about them before. You've got the complete set of limited editions.
I've got all the ones that have been released so far.
And I missed the boat, thinking that I'd be able to get them at a later date.
And it looks as though you will be able to.
They're just so beautifully done. Where possible, I think even some of the early 70s ones are done in 5.1. Yeah. The work involved in doing that. There's no other program gets this level of detail. Even the title screen.
Not even Star Trek.
No. Star Trek got rebuilt from the ground up. They went back and rebuilt every episode. They scanned the film elements in HD. They re-edited it shot for shot. New CGI effects. But there's only so far you can go with that. Doctor Who, they just keep going further and further and further.
Yeah. And the thing about Star Trek and the Star Trek original series is they've got everything.
Yeah.
Even the untransmitted stuff, so the original pilot with Marjorie as number one in the space pajamas, the full version of the cage, and everything has been kept and archived because it was constantly in syndication. It's the same with ITC. I don't think ITC has an awful lot of missing stuff because they were all designed for American syndication. You've got things like The Champions and Department S that are re-releasable on Blu-ray.
And they were done on film. Only all Doctor Who was done on film. Spearhead from Space, and that was Blu-rayed.
Yeah.
My goodness me. But we're on with shiny, rainbow-coloured Colin Baker Doctor Who, and I'm really looking forward to this. It's Ron VT, Episode 1 of Terror of the Vervoid Special Edition.
See, I do like that as a title sequence. I think it looks great. Obviously, you can't compare it to the modern type sequences.
It does blend very nicely into that opening space shot, though.
I hadn't realised quite how much that looks like the Empress, is it, from Nightmare of Eden?
Oh, yes! That's a really nice CGI shot.
Yeah, and actually this is a really nice little model shot.
And they have tidied that up beautifully because it was a horrible, horrible jar between the model shot and then the studio shots. It looks a lot more natural now.
And that speech over it is a throwback to the trial sequences where he's putting forward his own defence. But actually, it works really well just as an overlay.
Which cabin did you go to?
Cabin 6,
where
else?
No, the other way around, I think. You are in cabin 9, and that is where you will find your luggage.
So how did he open cabin 6?
It's the question I've always asked.
You're in cabin 6, Miss Grenville?
You'll find it full of a madwoman's shite.
Hell, it's how pleasant. At least one face not belonging to a stranger.
My name is Grenville. I've never been to
Stella. He's not great, is he?
No.
I mean, he doesn't last long. Spoilers.
Maybe the gentleman has a doppelganger.
That old man, for years I only knew him from Vervoids, but now I associate him with the Church and the Crown episode of Blackadder.
Oh, he's the clergyman?
Yeah.
God, that is so much like work at the moment, where
everybody's in masks and gowns and capes and
I was more going to say lots of people have visors and don't actually bother putting them down. Now, to be fair, we're supposed to wear visors all the time, and realistically, if you're not around a patient, national advice is that you don't need to wear a visor. Our infection control department is just a bit over-enthusiastic.
Startled me.
Have
you got your translator switched on, sir?
Why did we not depart on schedule?
Service industry, you have to put up with all sorts of stroppy
shots. You do indeed. Entitled people.
Tried all the standard frequencies.
And this one?
No, I don't believe it.
That is a piece of space flotsam.
You make delicious coffee, Janet.
You don't want the benefits, my advice.
That was a little bit arsy. I mean, she walked all that way to bring him that tiny, tiny cup of coffee.
Yes.
Do they not have mugs? They've got impressive shoulder pads. Time for the mixing desk. How come it carries on sending a message when he's not doing the twiddly knob thing?
Oh, that's a nice shot of the TARDIS in space.
Three,
Oh, that doesn't look good for your back.
32, 33, 34, 35, 36.
I mean, Bonnie Langford may be a lovely person and a versatile actress, but Mel, you would kick out at the next planet, Mel, wouldn't you?
She's pretty bouncy.
It is a very nice TARDIS console, that. It's not the one I'm used to. Oh, now that's nice. Mm.
This does benefit already enormously from losing all the trial guff.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not really doing it properly, I suppose, but it is doing... It is marvellous. What? Irritated. She does have that happy, hoppy, jolly hockey sticks.
Now listen, my man, I can explain.
I never really noticed before, but Colin Baker's put on a little bit of weight between seasons.
I've already told you. No one's blaming you, Daddy.
It is a very nice set.
That leaves only one objective.
Did it have that starscape in the original?
Yeah, I think that is the original starscape, because that's one of the things I think they could have probably done to tight up a little bit.
Captain Tonka Travers, Commodore.
Oh, there's no info bollocks.
I suppose it would be difficult to do for the special edition. I don't know.
It is because on the previous occasion that the Doctor's path crossed mine, I found myself involved in a web of mayhem and intrigue.
Mayhem and intrigue? Isn't that marvellous?
I seem to recall at some point in the audio episodes, Evelyn Smythe had a bit of a thing with Captain Travers off screen.
You see what I mean about a costume being designed? Nobody in their right minds would wear that.
Oh, the patchwork quilt?
Yeah. Hmm. Cat badge and bright pink loo chain and all that.
Yes. I'd never noticed that before either. There's fluid being pumped through those pipes in the hydroponics centre.
And the pods look very impressive. It's just a shame about what comes out of them.
Yes.
Subtle. Nick the lot. Make it blindingly obvious that somebody's been in there on the roll.
Why would you take them, the Demeter seeds, out of a jar with a screw-top lid, put them in a Petri dish...
Without a lid.
And then gingerly carry them out instead of just taking the jar?
Look what I've just stolen! Clever me! It's very 80s design, isn't it?
Yes.
And those chairs don't look particularly comfortable.
They look awful, in fact.
And if this is supposed to be a cruise ship, well, cruise ships have comfy seats.
We were restricted to the passenger quarters. This is only the lounge.
God, she's irritating. And again, as with Colin Baker, I get that it's the script that she had and the way she was directed to play them, but it doesn't alter the fact that the character is irritating. She's been brilliant in the audios.
Mm. Oh, absolutely, yeah. There's a few characters that they've had back in the audios, particularly companions, that they've done things with and made quite dull or underused characters. They've made them into people you actually enjoy listening to.
And there we go, Dad's Army in Space again. Isolation. Why does a cruise ship have an isolation room?
I'm going to tell you, unless they've kitted it out for the...
Well, then why would you write isolation room on the outside so the cruise passengers go, what do you need to isolate? What are you locking me up in a tiny ship with? You see, that's just a bit filthy, isn't it? You've got your outdoor clothes that you then go and exercise in.
Mm.
Complete with jewellery.
Very persuasive, Doctor. Oh, it's not important. It's just a whim. I'm subject to whims, I'm told.
Yolanda Palfrey playing Janet. She died very young, I believe.
Really? Mm. What of?
No idea. Yeah, Yolanda Palfrey died in 2011, aged 54, of a brain tumour.
And there she is, skanky mare, not bothered cleaning after doing her exercise. And okay, she did about
20
three stretches or whatever. That's not the point. She was prepared to exercise in her normal clothes and then skank around in. That's just... It's looking terribly dramatic. She's doing very good performances on a Blackman. Now, pretty much all of the characters in this are two-dimensional.
Yes.
There's no real depth because it's a Pip and Jane script.
You're not supposed to be in here.
And they could have made such better use of her. Could you imagine her as Crozier?
What, Bonnie Langford?
No, Ronna Blackman.
Oh. Yes, I could, actually. Could you come
down, sir? Or Mr. Popplewick.
No. Crozier, yes. I mean, Ronna Blackman's wasted in this, really.
Yeah. Because it's... The script is kind of hack work, isn't it?
Why it is that every time you appear on the scene, people begin to die.
Hey, I don't care who you are. You've no right to say that to the doctor.
Well, actually, he kind of does. You see, she's had time to change and clean her hair and stuff. So not skanky post-gym, not bothering.
Yeah.
What are you doing prowling around down here?
And why is the communication officer there?
Why is there a cigarette bin there?
For people that smoke?
I just wanted to have a peep at the hydroponic centre.
Any reason in particular?
What harm could it do?
I'll no doubt regret
this. Well, we're about to find out.
Conductor's tour only, no wandering off on your own.
In terms of sets, it's pretty good for a spaceship hold set.
But how often do we actually see spaceship holds? Earthshot wheel in space.
Why is only low spectrum light allowed in the place?
Warrior's Gate.
Hang on a minute. We don't want you breaking your neck, at least not until... How is that sentence going to end?
So how long has that run for?
20 minutes, nearly 21 minutes. So they've chopped out about 4 minutes, and it's better for it.
Yes.
Right, well, that was Terror of the Vervoid Special Edition Part 1. It clocked in at 21 minutes, which means they've chopped out at least 4 minutes. And I think less is more in this case.
Yeah, I agree. And I hadn't actually realised that there was so little of the trial bits, because it keeps...
jumping back and forth to the trial room. For those that aren't familiar, the Trial of a Time Lord, it was... basically, the Sixth Doctor gets recalled to a space station near Gallifrey and put on trial for interference. Over the course of the 14 episodes, every story is interrupted periodically by scenes set in the trial room.
Which get quite tedious.
They do get quite tedious, and Colin Baker himself has said that filming them was quite tedious because they were just all shot back to back. So for the actors, there was none of the context in between where the episode segments were played on screen. I would
be
interested...
That is his job.
It is his job, but if all you're doing is barracking each other... that's going to get quite wearing.
Yeah, might as well just go into politics.
Yes. So we'll watch episodes 2 and 3 and then come back into episode 4. The Vervoids are at loose on the ship. Plant creatures that have been grown by the scientists, ostensibly as sort of servants, and that's never going to work. So they're systematically...
The way they've been designed, you do worry what kind of servant.
Well, yes, considering the face looks like a giant unshaved vagina.
Labia, technically.
Yes, technically, yes. So the humans start mysteriously dying, and they find them in a compost heap.
Episodes 2 and 3, stuff happened. Time for episode 4. A great title sequence.
I've got to say, I'm not keen on the camera shake. There's two things that have crept into modern television making, and I absolutely hate them. One is this artificial camera shake, the other is excessive lens flare.
The artificial camera shake I liked in End of the World, where they were sort of modelling it against the Zabi, but as that one-off, as a deliberate.
Your colleague is aiming the Hyperion 3 into the eye of the black hole of Tartarus.
Oh dear, the vervoids.
Get every vervoid to the bridge area.
The security officer, Rudge, has...
That's quite nasty burn makeup.
Quietly done a deal, yes.
I'm not really sure quite why the botanist is there helping out, other than the fact that she's the big-name star and should be there for... So that's supposed to be marsh gas, that they're...
Something like.
Marsh gas? A methane derivative.
Is that newly CGI?
They've sort of tidied it up, yes.
McGowan's to look as though they're in a new wave dance band.
I'm glad it's not just me that thought that.
Just imagine sitting down to the control panel and Trans Europe Express.
Now that the air is breathable, I'll resume command.
I'm afraid that isn't going to be possible, Commander.
What he is stating in the usually devious human manner is that we are taking over the ship.
Why is he not pointing that gun at anyone? Well, perhaps you deserve it. Because he was a bit crap at his job.
Yes.
We're being hijacked! You don't want to be caught! Come on!
So she's got a stewardess and a botanist.
The day will be saved.
Well, the botanist bloke, he was a bit useless. But Janet's been quite competent.
True.
But she's doing it all in white heels, so...
It always amazes me how these listless chops to the back of the shoulder always render people unconscious.
The Megarians are after the consignment of precious metals. Got this quaint notion it was plundered from their planet.
Where's that bearded bloke come from?
He was in the corridor. He was the one holding the cutting tool.
You've been in decency left. You'll get this man some medical treatment.
Why is he holding the front of his head when he was hit in the shoulder?
You're nothing but a spoiled criminal.
Oh, now that's good. Especially since she's gone up two steps to look down her nose at him to do it properly. Well, that didn't take 5 minutes, did it?
Miles from anywhere, and we're completely isolated.
No, he's just a weak man gone rogue.
They're very low-tech keys that are hanging on that thing.
Yes, they are.
And wasn't Holla Blackman about 70 when she made this?
She can't have been. That was 30 years ago. 35 years ago. And she's not long since died. Bear in mind, this is only what? It's not even 20 years after the Avengers.
25. She was early Avengers, so she'd have been finished in about 24, and this was 86.
Who designed that? And moreover, who signed it off?
The same people that did the dildometer and Alpha Centauri.
Rudge has to be convinced that the hijacks are lost cause.
Well, since he's the only one left of the hijackers, why don't they just put out a message saying... Well, she's already halfway there anyway.
Once I get this ship back on course, I want some...
Oh, so presumably he's some kind of pilot, beardy bloke.
Hmm.
An audio tape that'll explain everything.
Then why haven't I heard it?
Because it's been stolen. I would like carte blanche to search all the cabins.
You've got it.
Another request. I need a phaser.
A phaser?
You...
Exceptional circumstances require exceptional measures.
You see, I rate him very highly as the Doctor. I just think he was giving crap stories on the whole.
Yeah, I agree. I think Jodie Whittaker's the same. I think Capaldi, for the most part, was the same. Well, that's one problem taken care of.
I have narrowed the suspects down to two. You and Professor Lasky.
You really are serious. I'm frivolous about murder.
I'm not sure that's true. I've seen Vengeance on Varos.
The first murder could only be carried out by someone with access to this unit. The second needed poison. Even the abortive attempt on Mel's life could only have been committed by someone who would go unchallenged into the isolation room and get the anesthetic.
All this could have applied to Lasky,
not the Megarians. She was a hostage when they were slaughtered.
I'd forgotten all this bit about him being the murderer because he's so background.
Yeah. I must admit, I'd completely forgotten this.
Vervoids will run the factories and farms at practically no cost. All they need is some
You're talking about slave labour.
I mean, yeah, you tend to focus on the verbal, which is the big bad in this.
Came to a pretty unpleasant end, though, which brings us neatly to you. I also took the precaution of taking the Commodore into my confidence.
Throw him in the brig.
Hello, compost heap.
No, I'm not your enemy. Without me, you wouldn't exist. I'm your friend.
Oh, apparently not. Although, I mean, the compost heap is quite a nice, creepy idea.
It's nice turning it on its head.
It'd get awful smelly, mate.
The Murvoids are not psychopaths.
Doctor, I heard them say they intended to wipe us out.
Something must have gone wrong, radically wrong.
Why is it none of you can see what's so glaringly obvious? At some stage, directly or indirectly, all animal kind consumes plant life. Without it, we'd perish.
Doctor, if you're right, then coexistence with the Murvoids is an impossibility.
It's a question of self-preservation, kill or be killed.
Yes.
In which there can be no justice.
You forget the bits of this are actually quite grim. That's a really nice
CGI shot. That is a lovely, yeah.
Why can't I rid myself of the feeling we're approaching this the wrong way round?
Has she just necked what's ever in that bottle?
Vergoid chloroplasts trap sunlight, as is normal with all plants.
I mean, I assume that was chloroplast with a posh accent.
Yes.
They won't listen.
Perhaps they will. To me. You must know who I am.
Yes, Professor Lassie, we do.
Then you must also be aware that I mean you no harm.
All animal kind is our enemy, Professor. Even you.
How could they succeed?
There aren't very many of them compared to the number that they've actually killed off. Maybe they have a number of compost heaps.
It's a matter of perspective, Mel. In your house in Peace Pottage, you have a large garden. What did you do with the plants and weeds you uprooted?
Put them on a compost.
It's quite a clever idea.
Come on, Mel.
There are a lot of ideas in this that are interesting and well executed.
By blind instinct.
But badly written. Some of the dialogue is terrible.
Yeah.
And that fucking cat brooch just looks like a 9-year-old girl would be embarrassed to wear that.
And worth a prince's ransom or a hijack.
Life cycle.
It's a substance similar to magnesium. Exposed to oxygenated air, it releases incredibly intense light and carbon dioxide. Spring, summer, autumn. All condensed into a few moments.
Except magnesium doesn't do that.
Yes, but this is vianesium.
No alternative.
Who knows how it behaves?
Did say similar to magnesium, which doesn't do what he's just said. That's a nice effect. Yes, that's going to help.
Give away your position, Mel. Well done.
Maybe close your eyes as well.
Yeah, I would. That's quite a nice costume change.
It is, yes.
All the vervoids are now papery brown leaves.
And actually, that was a really nice change.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
That can't have been in the original.
Yeah, I'm bluffing with Janet.
You can restore power.
Trapped in the dark, taking the opportunity to cop a feel.
Till we meet again.
No, don't say that. No, I owe you my thanks, Doctor. But let's make this the sweet sorrow of a final.
Yes, you remember that the next time you get a Mayday call.
She means that too. Memory like an elephant.
That's his idea of a compliment. Comparing me to an elephant.
It'd be so ludicrously appropriate.
But at least if you're laughing, you can't be singing. Have you ever heard his rendering of Honor of the Motley? Count your blessings. Bye.
I mean, you would just leave her behind, wouldn't you? That's a nice shot.
That worked so much better without all the trial guff. It really did.
I might have to have a look at the others. I mean, presumably the... all the...
No, I don't think they've done it with Mind Warp and...
They've only done it with Vervoids.
I think so. But years and years ago, I used to have a VHS, a fan version where they'd chopped out all the trial bits. So I think it's sort of a kiss to the past why they've done this.
But it worked really
it
well.
It worked really, so well.
And actually, all the bits I enjoy about Terror of the Vervoids were in there, and the trial bit just gets irritating. Although I suppose with the other stories, the trial bits are more part of the story. So how would you explain the Doctor just suddenly disappearing in the middle, towards the end of Mind Warp, if you didn't have all the trial bits before?
Yeah, there is that, yes.
Mysterious Planet, yeah, you probably could. And then Ultimate Foe is all about the trial anyway. So I can understand my Mind Warp wouldn't. And if I was only able to do it for one story, I'd do it for Terror of the Vervoids, because it's about my favourite Colin Baker story.
That has just gone up in my estimation. I've always enjoyed it, but as a standalone story, I would far rather have seen a season of stories, rather than the trial.
But it was John Nathan Turner wanting to have ticked the box of doing the longest Doctor Who story, because it had been 12 episodes up until that point, hadn't it? Masterplan.
Yeah, Masterplan was the longest, yes.
Or 13 episodes.
Yes, technically. But that was really good. I'd really advise anybody to give that a go. Certainly the Blu-ray versions, because they're so beautifully polished.
I thoroughly enjoyed that. It's a great story. I love murder mysteries. Agatha Christie in space is my thing. It's nice to see Colin Baker having a good story to work in for once, because you really got to see just how good a Doctor he could have been given more of an opportunity.
Because he's another one, whatever he's in, he shines in the scene, even if the scene isn't particularly shiny.
Yeah. And, you know, it's Pip and Jane. The dialogue was terrible for quite a lot of it. And the guest cast were great. I mean, Honor Blackman.
Wasted.
And was kind of playing Honor Blackman, because she's very good at the haughty looking down her nose.
True.
And slightly stroppy. And you pay a dog to bark. You know what you're getting.
Never heard Honor Blackman described in such terms.
But you know what you're getting with an actress of her calibre.
Yes, true.
She will do a very good stroppy and supercilious.
Mm.
You couldn't imagine her playing any kind of weak or submissive role.
Because I don't really think so, no.
She could probably do it, but she's so much better at the woman of character. Oh, Strange Cousin Susan. You know what I mean by Strange Cousin Susan?
No.
The 1970s Carol Linley version of Cat and the Canary.
No.
Honor Blackman played Cousin Susan. Does a very good job of it.
She was in everything she was in. But we've reached that time. Siri?
I am Persian. Name your price.
What are we thinking on the Drag Queen Index?
Well, we've got some stuff. It's very shiny in 80s. Honor Blackman does some superb resting bitch face. Mm. And Janet's makeup is a bit Homer Simpson makeup gunk. So all we're really missing is the costumes with overblown femininity. The Vervoids don't count. That's a different kind of overblown femininity.
Oh, that's... Oh, my God. Yeah, that's too much femininity for Doctor Who.
Yeah, although you could imagine Lee Bowery or somebody like that wearing that kind of costume. Bonnie Langford's skanky multi-purpose, I'll wear this in the gym and then not bother showering afterwards, filth. Or Janet's very 80s ensemble. I'm going to go with a 3 on this.
Okay.
The costumes aren't great for drag queeniness, but we very definitely have the resting bitch face and the slap by makeup gun.
There's only one bit of housekeeping left to do, and that's to set the coordinates on the randomizer.
Enemy of the World.
Oh, lovely.
So, a surviving Troughton. Fully surviving Troughton.
Oh, I look forward to that one.
It's a while since I've seen it, actually.
Yeah, it's a while since I've seen it, too.
The end of it irritates me a little bit.
Well, I can't remember it, so don't spoil it. I can remember it, but...
It's not the plot, it's the set. Because there's supposed to be this massive underground base that they do with about 3 flats.
But on that note, we shall save all that for next time. Thank you for listening, boys and girls. We shall be back soon.
Bye now.
The Exton-Moss experiment featured Simon Exton and Ken Moss. All featured soundtracks are the property of their respective producers, and no infringement of copyright is intended. Title music was performed by the BBC Symphony Orchestra, and the programme was produced by Maverick Productions. For more information, please visit maverickproductionsuk.blogspot.com or find us on social media.